Hello, it's Jim Conley, Executive Marketing Manager for Anatomy and Physiology at McGraw-Hill Education. Welcome to Succeed in A&P, a podcast dedicated to you, the anatomy and physiology instructor. On this podcast series, we will feature teaching tips and helpful tactics for teaching anatomy and physiology from instructors all around the country. They all have unique perspectives on teaching A&P, and some of the perspectives might work for you and others may not. Our goal at McGraw-Hill Education is to provide you with the best anatomy and physiology teaching and learning resources, and this podcast will share success stories, how you can use these resources. We want to help and inspire you to make your class the absolute best that it can be. All right, so along the lines of improving your course, I want to share with you my take on an article that I read recently published by McGraw-Hill Education. It's called Defy Death by PowerPoint. Whoa. The 7 tips to improve multimedia learning. I added the woe in there for effect. And this article was authored by Dr. Heather Collins, and she received her PhD in psychological and brain sciences from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and she completed 5 years of postdoctoral research in brain imaging. She's currently a speaker, consultant, and biostatistician at the Medical University of Southern California. I loved her article. I wanted to bring it to you. She's also passionate about communicating the impact of psychology, neuroscience, on everyday life to a wide variety of audiences, including college students, instructors, business professionals, and seasoned adults. She also has a popular TEDx talk called Successful Thinking. It's a no-brainer, and it has over 20,000 views. I'm going to post that in our show notes here and also on the webcast page. And I thought it was really fun, so I wanted to talk to you guys about this article. So during my take on this article, I'm going to actually read to you some passages, and then I'm going to give you my take and how I'm really going to take the information I read about and see if I can change it up a little bit to be more effective. Okay, so right out of the gate, Heather's article is called Defy Death by PowerPoint, the 7 tips to improve your multimedia learning. And right away, the thing that caught my attention was I see 4 students, 2 look confused, 2 are talking to each other, not paying attention. And the subcaption says, have you experienced death by PowerPoint? Have you been in the middle of a lecture when you gaze across the room and instead of seeing bright-eyed students taking notes, you see blank expressions of confusion? Well, I've actually experienced that when I've been teaching. Not a fun scenario, but I'm going to go through and I'm going to read to you some of the things that Dr. Collins talks about how you can avoid this. So the first thing that she says is your brain treats pictures and words differently. I'm actually going to read from her article real quick. Your eyes take visual information and send it to your visual cortex and your occipital lobe at the back of your brain. Your ears and verbally presented information to your auditory cortex in your temporal lobe on the side of your head. Words then go on to language processing regions, such as the Wernicke's area, located between the auditory cortex and the visual cortex. All of this information eventually makes it to the frontal lobes, where complex learning and thinking take place. So the other thing, and I quote, Heather talks about, so in the case of the classroom lecture accompanied by a PowerPoint, students will utilize their eyes to see and process images and pictures on your slides. And at the same time, they're going to employ their ears to hear what we are saying as opposed to just reading long PowerPoint or text instructions. So here's my take on this. This, for me personally, could not be more true. This is exactly how I, as an audience member, process things. And I haven't always done it this way, but I've tried to err more now on the side of using the pictures or illustrations instead of having a lot of text on the screen. I know sometimes as a presenter, we errantly think that if we have those long text descriptions on there, we can default back to that and really utilize those things to kind of read to the audience if we get stuck. I think in my case, that's something I'm going to avoid doing. So bullet number 2, and this is something from Heather, she says your cognitive system has a limited capacity. So not a news bulletin, but students have a limited attention span, as Dr. Collins talks about in her article, and that packing slides with long sentences from the top to the bottom and speaking while your students are trying to read will set your students up for failure. Also, Dr. Collins talks about aim for presenting a few pieces of information at a time. For example, your slide might focus on a simple bullet point, such as one word or one piece of information. She also talks about a well-designed presentation should account for limited cognitive capacity. Okay, so just based on what Dr. Collins wrote there, I think this is a really important point. And I know Bridget McGowan-Hawkins and I talked about this a little bit a couple of podcast episodes ago, where your audience just has limited capacity to process lots of information. Now, if you transpose on top of that, we're all knowledgeable. We have this wonderful science of anatomy and physiology that we love. And the tendency is to really go crazy on that. But remember, your audience has a limited ability to process that. So in this case, Dr. Collins would say, be mindful of what you're presenting. One image, couple words, maybe, not a lot of text. So I love that idea. Okay, number three, stimulate cognitive engagement. So I'm going to read to you what Dr. Collins says here. By presenting your material in a clear, organized way that uses words and pictures effectively and accounts for limited cognitive capacity, you will help your students become better learners. And I think here the key takeaway for me is anytime you can stimulate cognitive engagement, that's going to be more effective more often than not. I think that goes without saying. All right, now this next one, place your words and pictures near each other. Oh, my goodness. This is one that I struggle with, and I'm going to read to you a couple things from Dr. Collins. She says, when you see a picture, it is sent to your occipital lobe, and from there it takes one of two pathways to your brain, the what pathway, which is your ventral stream, or your where pathway, your dorsal stream. Later in this little passage, she says, in some cases, the where pathway may be very important, such as learning the anatomy. Ironically, she says anatomy, which is cool, or how the engine works. The key is to design your learning materials based on which attentional resources are the most important for the material that you are teaching. And this one gets me thinking a little bit more about Molly Shields' podcast that she did on assessments and intention. You could also apply that same methodology here with your PowerPoint too, right? So if you think about what you want to present, where you want it processed, you'll be mindful of that as you're kind of going through and building your lecture. So for me personally, I have a lot to work on there. Okay, number five from Dr. Collins. Present your words and pictures simultaneously. Dr. Collins says, your brain also has a when attentional pathway that is sensitive to whether information is presented simultaneously or successively. Whew, that's a lot. That's pretty heavy for me. And then here's what Dr. Collins, and I'm going to quote her here. By presenting words and pictures together, the brain immediately begins to make sense of how they are linked. If you separate your words and pictures by 30 seconds, students must remember the words for that duration, wait for the picture, and then they have to try to make the connection. Now, for me, this is an area that I'm going to try to improve on here moving forward, is really making sure that the imagery that I'm using in my PowerPoints and then the words are really kind of simultaneous, and I might even err towards the side of using one or the other, but to focus on just one thing or one cohesive angle so that, in this case, I can do a better job of presenting those two together and not asking my audience to make that leap. So I love that suggestion. Now, Dr. Collins is going to get into some other offenders for me here. And we only have two left, but it's pretty funny. So her number six is exclude extraneous material. Boy, oh boy, I have some work to do here. Let's talk about what Dr. Collins says. So I'm going to quote her that research actually shows that adding extra images, these extra images, causes students to learn less, not more. You have hot emotional brain network involving your limbic system that responds quickly and can quickly overpower your cold cognitive network, which is required for meaningful learning. So here, this is one where they talk about the awesome pictures of puppies, kittens, anything like that that will let you feel an emotion. I've been guilty of this. I often will refer to like the strong images where I want my audience to feel something. And in this case, what Dr. Collins is recommending that is I shouldn't do that. Or maybe to go back to bullet number five, maybe I should just have that one image and that one image alone. But putting extra on here is not a good idea. So this is another one that I like what she says here. And I'm going to have to work on that a little bit more here going forward. So that's great. All right, so here's the last one. And I love this suggestion. So pictures plus verbal discussions are better than pictures plus printed words. Ah, okay. So here's what Dr. Collins says. Printed words and pictures go to the visual cortex for immediate processing, whereas spoken words or verbal discussions go straight from the auditory cortex to the brain's language processing centers. I can tell you I did not know that, but it makes sense. So separating the two streams of incoming information will expand the student's cognitive capacity. Aha, that's a good thing. So then what she recommends here, and I'll quote this, be sure not to speak while your students are trying to read from your slides. Well, Jim, I could definitely improve in this area because I know often when my slide's up there, now lately I've been doing a better job of this. I've been pausing more as they can read what's up there. But definitely Dr. Collins has a good tip here. You know, in this case, if you have something like that that's important, hold it up there for maybe 5-10 seconds. That would be my take on it. And let that visual really sink in for your audience and then do the talking. Okay, so here's what Dr. Collins says at the end of this one. They can only process one source of verbal information at a time, either what they hear you say or what they read on the slides. When possible, opt to show your students a visual image, and then after a brief pause, discuss or describe the image in the class. So that's what I was talking about earlier, where maybe you give them 5-10 seconds, let them kind of let the visual or the word sink in, and then, you know, proceed with your lecture. So the thing that Dr. Collins ends with here in summary, which I love, is teaching with these principles requires careful planning, but it can help maximize your time with your students and lead to significant gains in improving your student learning. I could not agree more, and I think this is the point of me bringing up this article is I know there's plenty here for me to take in and listen to and learn from, and I hope that this was helpful for you. If you find an article out there that you've read that you think would be good for us to discuss here on the podcast, send that along to james.conley, C-O-N-N-E-L-Y, NMH Education, and we'll get that on the show roster. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this episode of the Succeed in AAP podcast, and we're also going to provide a link to this specific article on our show notes and our podcast description page. And I wish that you all have a great week. We'll probably hear from you later in the week, if not next week, on this episode of the Succeed in AAP. Have a great day.